This is the Bottom Line. I'm Doug Wells, and today we're speaking with Sarah Danzy Jones, co-founder of the Women's Tech Council and co-organizer of the She Tech Conferences. She Tech's goal is to introduce high school-aged girls to STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. They do this primarily through two programs, She Tech Explorer Days and Tech Art Hour of Code. To date, more than 2,500 high school girls have participated in Explorer Days, and more than 3,500 girls have participated in their Hour of Code. This year, Explorer Days will be held at various locations throughout the state, starting in early March and ending in early April. Tune in this morning to hear more about the She Tech conferences and how Sarah's group hopes to positively impact the educational lives of over 10,000 Utah girls in 2017. Sarah Danzy Jones, thank you for joining us on The Bottom Line.
So excited to be here and specifically to talk about this program that we're so passionate about. For those who don't know about Women Tech Council, it started here in Utah over 10 years ago, and we really focus on how women impact the economic growth of the state in our tech communities. And obviously one critical part of that is getting more talent into the pipeline. And the funnel is so small for girls, and we thought we can really be helpful and bring industry to change the way girls think about tech careers, STEM careers, and really make it fun and interesting for them. So the program was really built around that premise of make it interesting and fun for these kids to explore in this no-pressure environment. They also get to meet hundreds of industry people. So little known secret, we have about 250 industry mentors that come out. And so throughout the day, the girls are going to be meeting dozens of people, mostly women, that are actually in industry. And they get to see, hey, there's no one way to do it. There's no one look, right? There's all types of people that end up going into STEM careers and loving it.
Yeah, and having the role models, I think, is really important. People need to be able to visualize themselves in these various jobs. First, the job needs to seem like it's fun. And I watched the promotional video on your site that showed last year's programs. And one of the things I was impressed by was it looked like it's a very hands-on experience. What does the day look like, the Explorer Days? What does that look like? I know you're doing it at Utah Valley. You're doing it in Dixie State. You're doing it up at Weber State. So it's probably a little bit different at each location. But in general, what does the day look like?
That's exactly right. It's very hands-on. So regardless of how the sites choose to do it, we're flexible on how they do it, we really want it to be this hands-on experience for girls, because at the high school teenage level, they are captured, their imaginations are captured when they're actively doing it. So we just really avoid the lecture style. That's no fun for really anybody, even adults, right? And even adults get a kick out of the day because it's so fun and engaging. So, you know, the day would look typically, like, they do workshops in the morning. They're smaller groups, they're very hands-on. They might be shooting rockets, or they might be learning about diamonds, or they might be learning about the chemistry of makeup, or just really interesting, you know, 3D printing or graphic design. So it's very visual, very hands-on, and we really encourage whoever from our industry is doing that, make sure it's fun and engaging. They also circulate through this tech zone. That is super fun. It's like a tech fair. So they go in and there will be 35 booths set up from all different companies, and they will be very hands-on exploration. So the girls can just wander around to the different booths and just see everything, you know, from, you know, Iron Flash brings these cool smoke guns, and they're these huge barrels, and they're learning about Bernoulli's mathematical principle through shooting these smoke rings. And those girls get a kick out, right? They'll just like throw that thing on their back and start making their smoke designs, and they just really get into it. So you'll see that morning is just super fun. Then we have a keynote and a lunch where all the girls gather together, and if you've been to the UCCU Center, it's a basketball court. So that is completely filled with high school girls. And so they get to see all these girls that are going through this experience together, and then they spend a couple hours doing a tech challenge, which is, you know, an engineering problem. It's a real life problem that's been solved. And they get to, you know, as a team, work together to solve this problem. And then they go through designing it, the feasibility, and then pitching their idea to industry people. And then some of the girls end up winning prizes. And so then they learn what the actual design was, right? So they get, it connects real world learning with actual team-based problem solving, which is really a critical skill that they'd need in any STEM career field.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a couple times to share with folks how they can find out more online. So what's the website that people can go to get more information on this?
It's shetechexplorer.com.
Okay. So, and again, just in case listeners are tuning in at different times, I'll ask again later. But let's go over the logistics of this. You know, these are high school aged kids. Their attendance matters. Their grades at school matter. Is this an excuse day across the state, or what does a kid need to do to be able to attend it and not be marked absent at high school?
Most of the school districts have given it a release date. So it covers a majority of the state. There's very few districts that haven't. And I think, you know, however they want to negotiate with that with a parent is up to them. We certainly want to try to make it available.
I can tell you what my daughter told me. My 14-year-old is going, which is actually how I found out about the program and ended up reaching, the station ended up reaching out to you to find out more. You know, she just told me she's going, and there's people from the high school carpooling. She's going to the Utah Valley University event. So the day's excused. What about the cost? What's the cost of the program?
It's free to the girls. And so really it's just getting the girls there, right? They'll come, they'll get a swag bag. I mean, it's fun stuff. And they'll leave the day with their bag filled with cool techie items that they've made, that they've created. Like we have 3D pens there, and they love making sunglasses or like writing their name with 3D printing. And so they come away with all this just fun stuff. And more importantly, they come away with a certification that says, You went through this day of exploration. You were able to engage on all these different things, and they can actually use that as a badge when they go into for resume building, right? So one of the purposes of SheTech, and we got a grant from the state of Utah to expand the program across the entire state, and it's actually going into Idaho and Denver as well. We've had lots of interest from outside the state. And so we actually want to pathway these girls. They have a great experience. What do you do next? Right? We don't want to stop there. We want to make sure they have opportunities into internships, STEM scholarships, careers, and you know what classes even to take in high school if they thought this was a really cool day.
If you're just joining us this morning, our guest is Sarah Danzy Jones. She is the co-founder of the Women's Tech Council and co-organizer of the upcoming SheTech's Explorer Days. So you just mentioned something there about internships and scholarships. I went on your website, and I saw that the attendees, the girls that go to this, are then qualified to apply for internships and scholarships. Tell us about those.
So we're really excited about the expansion of our SheTech platform to now pathway girls into these real work and educational pathways. We have a lot of tech companies that are so eager to offer internships to high school girls who've gone through SheTech because they've expressed interest in STEM. And, you know, the internships, they aren't always about coding, right? We know that girls are interested in a lot of different things. And the internships are just that exposure to get into a tech company. They might do market research. They might do some technology research, right? It's high school level stuff. So nothing scary, but these tech companies are eager to have these girls come onto their site and experience what it's like to work in a tech company and to have that exposure. So we couldn't be more thrilled. We initially, when we did the grant, had 10 companies that jumped on, just even with us and asked. They said, absolutely, we will consider these girls. We actually did an experiment with Dell EMC this summer, and we let our SheTech girls last year know, who were in seniors, about the EMC Student Star program, and three of those girls went into the EMC Student Star program. So if you think about that ability for all of industry to be able to contribute to helping these girls see what it's like to really be in tech, that there's nothing scary about it, and in fact, it's fun and it's interesting, and you meet lots of really great people through that.
Sarah, we're excited for those opportunities. We've had you on as a guest when you came on and talked about the Women's Tech Council, and we talked about some of the challenges, opening doors and making it more receptive, the tech community to women. And so we've talked with you one-on-one. about this. And you and I are both passionate about the ecosystem and thinking through how do we solve challenges with the ecosystem, because we're all stronger as a community than we are as an individual. Let's talk about some of the companies that are backing your program, part of the ecosystem. So who are some of the thought leader companies that jumped on board and are helping to make this possible?
Well, you know, we need to mention Ancestry, who came on from day one. they're a big fixture in the state. They're doing really cool things with DNA nationwide and globally, actually, right, to connect the interesting data DNA models. So they were, I would say, probably our number one partner from the beginning, and we've really appreciated having them come on board to help us grow the UVU one, which is our anchor site. And they have been amazing to offer their resources, internships, and all of those resources. They've fully come to the table. Dell EMC is another one. Dell EMC sends 30 industry mentors to come spend the day with the girls, and just has been so phenomenal in giving back. And then also that pathway piece that I mentioned, in offering these spaces in their internship programs to the girls who go through the SheTech program. STEM Action Center has been an amazing support for us as well, and they're excited about the program going statewide. The Governor's Office of Economic Development has been a critical partner. So we've got a lot of state policy backing, right? I would say, an amazing example of an industry and education and government partnership. And there aren't a lot of those floating around.
And kudos for the state of Utah, because, yes, you know, we've talked about this many times on this show. You mentioned a lot of volunteers coming to help with the program. How did the volunteers get involved with this? Is it primarily one or two organizations, or how did people find out that they can volunteer to help?
You know, we would love as much participation from industry people as we can. So it is not limited to only a few organizations. So our website has, most importantly, for purpose of this registration for students, is open and available. So so go to
until
the website
when?
For that.
What's the deadline?
You know, probably, I'm sorry, I don't know the deadline, but it'd probably be a few days before we'll probably need to close. I do know that the UVU one is capped. And so when it caps, we'll need to close registration. And I don't want to give you a cap number.
Do you have
I'm afraid
the dates? Do you have the dates? I know the UVU yes. one. When, give us the dates for the ones in Utah.
So UVU will be March 3rd. Weber will be March 31st. And Dixie will be April 7th. The registration for UVU is open right now. And we're getting flooded with registration, so get your girl signed up, because like I said, we will cap it because we can only hold so many high school girls, and it's a very popular program. Registration for the North region, which will be at Weber, opens February 1st, and then registration for the South region at Dixie State will open February 15th.
Great. And how many people does it take to put on an event like this? How big's your team?
Our team is immense. So I need to shout out to Angie Trigo and Kristen Wright, who are on our board. And Kristen Wright's our program director. They spend, I don't know, thousands of hours. And UVU has an amazing planning team. I mean, it is an amazingly well-run event, especially to not, you know, get all of those girls where they need to be. But it's a huge planning team. And then, like I said, the industry mentors that come, probably 250 of them, maybe 300. We also have all of our people that teach workshops, so there's 70 people there. All of our people that do tech zone booths, so there's another 70 industry people. So this is a huge community effort.
And you mentioned on your website, and I'll have you give your website if you would in your reply, but on the website, people that want to volunteer and help out the day of the event can do so on your website. Are you hoping for primarily women to be volunteering, or is it open to both men and women to volunteer?
So industry mentors and volunteers can sign up at shetechexplorer.com. We love to have involvement from anyone. Obviously, it really helps for these girls to see other women in industry. However, we do recognize there's a lot of dads out there that want to come and get involved. So we're not going to turn anyone away. We just ask that people be respectful that it is an all-girls event. So when you do things like be an industry mentor at the Tech Challenge, you know, sit back, let the girls lead, let the girls do the problem solving, right? Let them have that experience. And this goes for anyone. and any adult that's involved, it's their day. It's not your day. So come and be supportive and, you know, participate. But just remember that girls have a different dynamic than an all-boys group. Right. And so the entire day is structured to be very encouraging and supportive to these girls to make sure that they have an awesome experience.
Great. Let's talk about, you know, the trends. I mean, this has been an issue, encouraging women, supporting women in STEM fields has been an issue since I was in high school, which was a long, long time ago. Where are we now? Where, you know, what do you think the paths look like the last 10 years? Are we in a better place today than we were 10 years ago? Or have we still struggled to make progress?
The amount of support, like we mentioned, the policy and the education and the industry support is amazing. I believe everybody is 100% on board of getting more, not just girls, right, but our boy talent into tech for the growth of our economy. I don't think there's a single person that disagrees with that. Having said that, despite our amazing programs, I think there's still a little bit of work, maybe a lot of work internally in tech because they haven't fully adjusted to, for example, how do you recruit all of these amazing women that we're bringing into the pipeline? How do you make sure during the recruiting process that you're not treating them differently in a way that's off-putting, that makes them feel like, gosh, why did I choose this path? You know, I hear lots of stories all the time about bad interviews and not treating them well, or even asking them like, so now, can I ask you a personal question? Why as a woman would you choose programming? You know, that it's 2017. We don't need that anymore, right? We just need them to be treated as equals, as strategic equals, and being able to contribute just like a man, and to show them how great these careers are, and then do everything we can once they come into our company to keep them and to make sure it's a welcoming environment where they're not going to feel isolated or less than or unsupported.
Yeah. And, you know, as a father of two teenage daughters, you know, it's one of the challenges I have, because I think these tech careers offer really interesting opportunities, work experiences. It's really fascinating. It's intellectually challenging. There's a lot of things to like about the field. As a dad, my biggest hesitation supporting my girls and encouraging my girls there is just knowing that oftentimes the cultures are not that welcoming to women, and knowing it likely, at least if today's trends continue for the next 7 years until they enter the workforce, it's going to be a more challenging workspace for them.
I agree. And it's really up to us as leaders to adapt. I think it's, I was actually judging my son's engineering fair yesterday, and I noticed the sixth grade girls talk very differently about their engineering projects than the sixth grade boys. Well, there's no way that I'm going to change the way that girl talks about her engineering project. It was really cool. She was upcycling Legos to make 3D printing filaments. Like, she seriously rigged her own like system out of—
That's awesome.
It's so cool, right? And it works. She and the high quality output was amazing. And she can put it right into a 3D doodler pen, and it works just the same as a commercially fabricated piece of 3D printing plastic. I mean, that's genius, right? I mean, what mom does not have buckets of old Legos sitting around, right? So you see this genius, but the way she talks about her project is totally different than the way the boys talked about their projects, right? So it's really up to us to adapt to the way women think about the world, the way we talk about technology, projects, the impact, and to be able to adjust our cultures, which were created by mostly men. Nothing wrong about that. It is what it is, but it's up to us to adapt.
Good points. If you're just joining us this morning, our guest is Sarah Danzy Jones. She is the co-founder of the Women's Tech Council and co-organizer of the SheTech Explorer Days. So we were talking about ecosystem, and in the green room before we started our interview, we were talking about the recently held Silicon Slopes Tech Summit that was just held, big event over at the Salt Palace. Clint Betts and his team, this is now their third year in a row doing it. And one of the main themes this year was the need for Utah to bring in talent from outside the state. And it's, high level, it makes sense, but it's not without controversy. Share a little bit about your thoughts and reactions to that.
Yeah, you know, I was thrilled with the turnout at the Silicon Slope Summit. I was thrilled that talent was really up front as a conversation piece. Even diversity was up front. And, you know, it wasn't Women Tech Council driving that conversation, which is great, right? It's good for tech leaders and male leaders to be talking about that. And we also were able to highlight the SheTech program there. You know, I think that we have to get from the high level, like you said, and what's going to grow the economy, and get down to the practical level. There's this practical level of how do we pathway people in a really practical way. And there's something about the tech industry, and I don't know that it's my problem to solve. I'm not sure whose problem it is. I've kind of talked with a few people after, but there's a distinct contrast with us at a high level saying we need to infuse the state with talent. But then as a practical level, we've got hundreds and thousands of people that are trying to learn coding in our own state, and they can't find jobs. It's a tough problem.
Which is bizarre, because there's a shortage of programmers. And so these boot camps, the graduates coming out of boot camps are maybe 80% where they need to be job ready. They're not quite there. So it takes a little bit of a leap of faith on a company standpoint. But yet there is this issue, and you're sharing with me, there's a lot of women that have gone through these coding boot camps, taking the initiative on their own to learn it. And maybe their challenge is even a little more difficult than some of the other people's.
Yeah. You know, I will be the first to admit that I'm amazed at the number of women going through these boot camp programs. I was skeptical. But it's happening. And, you know, there's a lot of women that are like, hey, why don't I try this out? See how I like it. Oh, I really like it. But their challenge is the skills issue, which all junior, you know, these, here's the issue, right? They're not even junior devs at that point, right? And they're trying to get these quote unquote junior dev jobs. I think there's a gap in our pathway into tech companies where there's this entry level role that isn't a real thing yet for most companies. And we've got to figure out as a state, how do we create these viable entry level roles where training is highly valued within tech companies? I get this fast growing tech company, you cannot always focus on training. I completely understand it. But I do think there are probably some ways where we can test aptitude, where we can test some foundational skills to make that training worthwhile for a company. What is frustrating for these junior devs, and I just kind of sat down and just listened to them. Like, right? I mean, how many times as a tech leader do you just sit down and listen to their frustrations? So I just listened to them for like an hour. You know, just tell me what are you experiencing?
It's really hard for them.
It is tough. It's
frustrating. And the thing is, once they get 6 months in at a company and they get over that hump, mm-hmm. now there's 20 companies that are going to fight to recruit them. It's just getting that first 6 to 12 months of professional experience.
That's absolutely right. And they have no guidance. So here they are trying to collaborate amongst themselves. And there's no senior leadership that can help point them to the right pathway that will get them there faster, if that makes sense. So we have, as a state, need to figure out how do we value training to the point where it's worth training up these entry-level people, but not in an internship style. See, I'm a little bit frustrated with this whole concept of an internship with these entry-level roles, because I think there needs to be a commitment there from the tech company.
It will internship work. Being unpaid, your issue is
not
with,
even unpaid, but okay. Apprenticeships that don't really end in a real job, right? There's these, you know, some apprenticeship models, and they feel like they're doing it because it's the right thing to do. But the fact is, it's not really pathwaying them into a real viable job. So there's got to be just this pathway that allows for these entry-level people, that leap of faith, like you said. I'm sure there's some ways to assess aptitude to bridge that gap, right? I'm not a big fan. Hey, it's like women, right? Don't give them a job just because they're a woman. I'm a big fan of skills, but giving somebody that leg up, because there's still gender issues there, right? In giving somebody a opportunity, but then that real commitment to truly grow them within the organization.
Yeah, no, it's a big issue. And, you know, 2 years, well, 5 years ago, there were no boot camps in the entire mm-hmm. United States. There were a couple in California that started. The model was proven, and Utah was lucky to have some of the first coding boot camps after that first phase. And now we're experiencing the flip side of this, where there's a fair number of people coming out that have the very basic knowledge, but they need experience in how to use those tools professionally, because there's a big difference between coding as a hobby or in a classroom versus coding professionally within a company.
Absolutely. So
there's definitely a show there that we want to do. We've talked positively about the coding boot camps. I think it's pretty amazing how somebody can change their life pretty dramatically inside 4 to 6 months. But it's not an easy path. You've got, even after you've learned those skills, you need that bridge that's still missing. So I want to go back to the SheTech conference. We talked about the internships. There's some companies that have partnered with your group to offer internships to these high school girls. There's also scholarships that are available to the girls that attend. Tell us about the scholarships.
That's another exciting expansion of our program. Now, be a little bit patient with us when you go to the SheTech Explorer site. We don't have our scholarships fully populated, but basically we are going to collect STEM scholarships that are being offered and make sure they're visible to all of these high school girls the same way that we're doing with internships. So there will be scholarships available and then also internships. And we're going to create a space on our website called our SheTech SheTech Base Camp, and that's for all the resources that are available to our girls. They'll be able to go to our base camp and be able to see, oh, there's these scholarships, there's these internships, this is the classes I should take in high school, right? And we just want to make it really easy for girls and parents to understand how to get there.
Yeah, and you know, that's a really good point too about making sure that the girls are taking the right classes in high school. So if they do decide to pursue STEM in college, they have the background needed. Mm-hmm. When you see kids miss that mark, and it's not the end of the world, you can go get that class somewhere else, but it's nice if you know ahead of time. What are one or two of the biggest mistakes that kids make, regardless male or female, in not being STEM ready to go to college?
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure in this particular state, the way our education system is structured for the Regents Scholarship and the graduation requirements. They're not completely aligned yet with a STEM pathway. So there's, you know, there's work being done on the policy side to try to get more of those STEM credentials more broadly available, make them graduation requirements or make them Regents Scholarship requirements. But it's a really slow process. So the academically driven kids will likely want to go through those pathways, and the guidance on what you need to do, you know, in terms of your science and math and core requirements on all of those, don't actually align to a STEM pathway. And so it's just something to be aware of. It's something for parents to be aware of. How do I beef up the curriculum or the courses or align them in a way that we can accomplish? I can still get my kid that Regents Scholarship. They can still get their graduation requirements and also have a good foundation for STEM. So it's a complex problem. We're hoping with this platform to be able to simplify it a little bit more so that parents have more guidance, because it's almost like trying to figure out a maze, I think, for our parents.
Being on the flip side of it, you know, there's so many resources. It almost needs to somehow be consolidated, because it can be very confusing.
Yes.
Just because there's 12 different places to look as opposed to one place. Okay, my kid's on this path. What do I need to make sure that he or she are doing now?
Exactly. And it's confusing even for us as, you know, Women Tech Council executive board members. We're parents and we have engineering degrees and we're like, oh my gosh, it's so complex. So we're helping to simplify that. And, you know, the alignment, though, that you talk about is a policy legislative issue. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of work being done to try to build up a computer science for all K-16 pathway and get industry much more aligned and legislators much more aligned with that, so that the curriculum within our schools lines up with that. Because, you know, there's still not enough of our schools building computer science pathways into their
curriculum. We have a long way to go on this state. We've made progress in the last 3 years. We're at least up in Park City, kids can get a science credit for taking one computer science class. But just like a foreign language, I think it would be great if somebody's interested in this, if they can actually take four classes, all 4 years, and get full credit for it, as opposed to right now, my belief, I'm not an expert on this, my belief is it's a general elective after that first year.
And so the incentive structure isn't completely in place for students to want to invest a lot of time in those computer science or engineering disciplines during high school. There's a lot of people that do pathway into that in college, but they've got to have somebody that influences them to go into that pathway, right? And it's a big leap for a lot of kids.
Yep. Well, it's important work, and we thank you and your colleagues at the Women's Tech Council for doing this. The She Tech Conference is coming up here. Registration is open for most of the programs. Tell people again a website where they can register their girls.
Yes, it's shetechexplorer.com. We expect over 3,000 high school girls to go through this program this year. So we're so excited.
And I'm excited for you. My daughter's going to be down there, like I said, at Utah Valley University.
So great.
Sarah, thank you for sharing more with us about the She Tech Conference today on The Bottom Line.
Thank you for having me.
Our guest this morning has been Sarah Danzy Jones. She is the co-founder of the Women's Tech Council and co-organizer of the She Tech's upcoming Explorer Days. Today's show was recorded at the KCPW studios on Library Square and produced by Ross Chambliss. You can hear our entire interview with Sarah on our website, kcpw.org, or on The Bottom Line podcast. I'm Doug Wells. Join us next week on The Bottom Line.